I got a bad feeling about this.
No reward is worth this.
Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder!
What a piece of junk!
Will somebody get this big walking carpet out of my way?
And welcome you into another one of our Star Wars flavored versions of Meet Me at Usual. I'm your host, Daniel Shopdaw, and I've got with me a pretty regular, our pretty regular panel of Star Wars people. We've got Tina and Steven, Tina Bradley, Steven McNeil, who you have heard on these episodes quite a number of times. Got a little bit of Star Wars to talk about, and the first part of this would be the fact that over the Super Bowl weekend, the day after the Solo trailer, both the TV spot and then a full trailer came out. I know in the past we've kind of been a bit hesitant about the trailer, or about the idea of a Solo movie. Steven, after seeing that trailer, are you more interested in this?
You know, yeah, absolutely. I think that I'm a little bit more on board now than I was. Still not necessarily crazy about the idea, but you know, now that we have it, now that it's here, you know what, I'm pretty excited about it.
Tina, what did you think when you got a first look at both of these bits?
I thought the trailer made the movie look more interesting than I thought it was going to. It was a good trailer. I'm still kind of leery of it partially because of The Last Jedi, because even though I enjoyed the movie, I thought the trailer made the movie look better than the movie actually ended up being. But the trailer did make me more interested in the movie than I had been.
Yeah, I think that's the case as well. My hesitation with this movie and still is available is that we're going to see they're going to check all the boxes of Han Solo's backstory in one movie, which seems to, you know, pushing it. You know, Kessel Run, meeting Lando, meeting Chewbacca, all this stuff all at one time. I don't know if that's all necessary or not, but I think that it's, you know, going to be an interesting movie, more than I expected. And I'm kind of interested to see how they'll put all the pieces together. Maybe, Steven, what do you think? Do you think that Disney kind of did a smart thing by holding off this trailer and letting everybody start clamoring on where is this Solo trailer before dropping it, you know, and just so shortly before the movie actually comes out?
You know, I'm not too sure on that. And trust me, I'm by no means am I an expert on anything like this, but I thought it was a little odd from a business standpoint. Just because I guess I just wasn't a fan of their releasing platforms. I thought that, because in history, if you look at it, the, Super Bowl commercials tend to be pretty expensive. Mm-hmm. And while that is a very big audience, I kind of thought it was a little odd to see a Star Wars trailer, especially a teaser at that, you know, the very first look at something like that in the Super Bowl in an avenue that probably cost Disney and Lucasfilm quite a bit of money. Especially being on a competitor network. So that was, I guess, my kind of weird kind of feeling about it. And so I thought it was a weird time to release it.
Yeah, I figure that's why we didn't see the full trailer until the next day when it was on Good Morning America, which is ABC, which is Disney owned, all that kind of stuff. And you just saw the 45-second commercial, which, you know, still was what, probably $7.5-8 million just to air that commercial or whatever
yeah.
rates were going for. But you know, again, I think, you know, there was a Twitter account that was out there for a while saying, do we have a Solo trailer? And it kept updating with no and all this stuff. I think that if Disney had come out with a Solo trailer, you know, in October, people would have been interested in it, but I think the fact that there wasn't one kind of piqued people's interest, kind of like us, you know, we were going to go see it plenty of times, I'm sure, but, we weren't necessarily as fired up about it, but, you know, now that you've kind of, you know, primed the pump, as it will, and getting people interested in why isn't this out and all this, and then all of a sudden it drops it, I think it might have gotten a better response now than it would have earlier. What do you think, Tina?
I agree. I mean, I don't know that if it was a plan that the overall plan was necessarily a good one just because there's been so much negative about the movie for so long. But I think releasing the trailer so close to when the movie is did two things. One, it kept it from being completely lost in the hype over The Last Jedi. And two, it's kind of serves to maybe erase some of the memory of all the negative of it, or at least get people more focused on, hey, this is a cool trailer, and less on everybody's been saying this movie is going to suck for months and months.
You know, it was kind of interesting. I think you brought up a good point. That's the one, we've talked about that director switch, and the idea that it was going to be some sort of slapstick, humorous, overall just funny movie, and it still sounds like it's going to be, but. You know, Tina, out of that trailer, there were moments here and there, but not any more than you would think of a normal Star Wars movie. If there's a lot of humor in this, they kind of hit it in this trailer.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if it's in there, they don't seem to be trying to emphasize it at all, which either means they've cut it down or it's so bad they don't want us to know about it. I'm not sure which it is.
Well, and it's also, you know, what is you want this first impression to be? And I think, maybe because of that, because they knew people had heard that, maybe they wanted to emphasize that it wasn't just a joke a minute type of thing. I don't know.
Right.
Steven, when you watched that trailer, I mean, what really stood out?
I thought it really kind of had that Star Wars feel, but at the same time, I was impressed that they didn't, you know, stick with that the entire time. You know, it's not going to be this. It's not going to be an entire film shot in what would be like the galaxy, I guess, or outer space, you know. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of making it into what I've heard, the term that I've been hearing a lot is the space western, which is intriguing. Yeah. I'm not usually a big fan of westerns and haven't really, and I might receive a lot of criticism for this, but I have never watched any of the Indiana Jones movies. So, you know, that doesn't really play to me a whole lot. So, the feel was different, and I liked, I thought it was interesting, and I think it's a good idea for them to give us a couple of shots of the, quote unquote bad guy. So I liked that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, when you talk about Western, I mean, you even have that traditional, you know, High Noon showdown, it looks like, as well, as he's got the gun on his hip and, you know, getting ready to draw. It looks like, there's a moment like that in there. So it may really lean on those tropes. Tina, what did you think?
Just from watching the trailer, I would have never gotten space western from it. It didn't really have that feel to me. I have seen the promotional materials where it definitely seems like they are trying to bill it that way. But I kind of get the sense that it's maybe a movie that doesn't know what it is, or maybe is scrambling to be something. But I don't know. That's not the feel I got from the trailer. From the trailer, it sort of just felt more like your typical backstory on, you know, how Han became Han.
Was there any high point for you in the trailer?
Probably the thing that caught my eye the most was their portrayal of Lando, and I know a lot of people have been talking about that. I'm sort of excited and sort of leery of it because they seem to just show him posing a lot, and he's very impressive, just looking like, you know, a really cool Lando, but they didn't really show any of his actual portrayal of the character, and I don't know much about this actor. He's some kind of comedian or something, I think, so I don't know whether they intentionally chose to be like, hey, this guy looks really cool, but maybe they're not going to like him as much when he starts talking, or if that's just how it happened to come out. So kind of cautiously optimistic there.
Donald Glover's pretty, I mean, he obviously made his name on Community, but he's, you know, he's got the Atlanta show that I've never watched, but from what I understand is a fairly serious show, and obviously has his has a music career as well. I mean, it is, you're right. They haven't shown anything there, and we'll see how that portrayal goes by. But I have a feeling that'll be all right. For me, again, I know that, you know, you can't do a time machine and get back Han Solo or Harrison Ford to be young Harrison Ford and do this kind of movie. But while Alden Ehrenreich kind of has a look of Solo a little bit, the voice pitch and accent is throwing me off a little bit.
The voice is all wrong. He does kind of look a little bit. I mean, I felt from the trailer, I felt like this guy seems like, for the role that he's in, that he would be decent, but that he doesn't seem at all like he would be the young version of Harrison Ford.
And it's going to take some time for any character that gets recast for us to, you know, identify with that. And I don't know that you wanted somebody that just goes in there and does a Han Solo or Harrison Ford impression, because then it's just going to throw you off, I think. So you've got to make the role your own. It's just, I mean, I know, you know, New Hope Han Solo was not the gravelly voiced guy that we got in Force Awakens, but still something about it is going to take some time to get used to, I think, for me. But also something I think worth pointing out, and something that we can see it a little bit in the trailer, but it's more the additional materials that have come out. Steven, they've changed the Millennium Falcon. You know, the Falcon looks, you know, it's completely closed up. It's a pointed type of thing. And then the insides, it's brand spanking new, it looks like. And obviously this is when Lando, the stylish, debonair guy, is owning this. But it looks a lot different inside and out than the Falcon we're used to.
I think it looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, the blue on the outside, for the Kessel Run, I thought that was really cool looking. I'm okay with this. I mean, there's a lot of fans out there, you know, a little upset about the fact that it looks different, but you know what? You know, you can't expect it to look the same over the course of the entire history, and you know what? It's got to have its own kind of Lando flair to it, and I like it. I think it looks neat.
Tina, what do you think? I mean, this may be the most iconic character that's in here, maybe even more than Han Solo, to see that change. What are your thoughts?
It doesn't bother me that it looks different. I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily over the moon about the changes they made about it. It kind of had a, you know, Space 2001 look with all the white and everything to it. I'm not really sure exactly what the time frame is here. I'm not sure how old he's supposed to be here and how old he was by the time A New Hope comes along, but he must have really rode that ship hard and put it away wet for it to change that much. I mean, it's just really different.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that they have given us a time frame now. You got to figure Solo at New Hope is probably, what, 28, 29 maybe, if that, and so we might be 7 or 8 years before those moments here. It's got to have some sort of difference, some sort of gap, because he's got to, you know, have this relationship with Lando, which he seems to be meeting right now. He's got to have this relationship with Chewbacca, who he may be meeting in this thing. And he's got to have the Falcon, you know, and like you said, it's got to look different. It's got to be different. So I don't know. I think 7 to 8 years is probably reasonable, but I haven't heard anything else. I don't know. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I guess to me it makes sense that it would look newer and cleaner, but I don't know that it makes sense that it looks that much newer and cleaner. I mean, he must have really treated that ship badly for it to look like a bucket of bolts by the time we see it again in A New Hope.
Well, and as some people have pointed out, there's a lot of extra plating, I think, on the outside, especially, that he takes out that is not there
right
anymore. And you got to figure Han, you come across that Han and Chewie, of course, you let a Wookiee through there for a long time. There's a good chance that it's going to get dirty. And I just have a feeling those are guys, besides the fact that they're always on the skin of their teeth, are guys that are, you know, they're focused on making it faster, making it, you know, more maneuverable, and they're not really concerned about the aesthetics of it. I mean, you know, there is a reason Luke Skywalker calls it a piece of junk. when he first sees it. So, and you know, heck, who knows? If
well, that's correct, and I guess there's also a possibility that they intentionally changed the look of it because, you know, he modified it to be a smuggling ship, whereas when maybe when they originally got it, it was just a normal freighter.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility as well. So Stephen, I mean, anything that really struck you wrong about either one of these trailers?
Not really. I mean, I thought they were pretty fine. The only thing I had an issue with would have been, what you already pointed out with the Soma voice. I mean, there wasn't really anything wrong about anything, really, I don't think. Too short of a, I think, trailer for us to really make anything like that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing when and if we'll get a longer look or a different look, maybe a different cut, because there should be, you would think, at least one more good trailer coming between now and May, plus then the TV spots that'll start hitting, you know, probably the last couple weeks of May with Infinity War in the beginning of it. Disney may wait a little bit on those, but I just think overall it was better than I think most of us expected, and like we've all said, it's kind of made us a little bit more excited for things than we were beforehand. Any last Solo thoughts there, Tina?
Not really. The only thing that I really stood out to me that I was leery about in the trailer was that I hadn't looked at the cast and I didn't know that Emilia Clarke was in it, so I was like, but she's got a great voice, her acting, I don't know. But other than that, I mean, the trailer definitely improved my, you know, excitedness to see the movie.
Stephen, last thoughts on it?
I'm pretty excited for it. I mean, cautiously optimistic at the same time. So, you know, hopeful that it's going to do well. I think it's a tough task being up against Infinity War. But you know what? I think Disney's okay with it being kind of overshadowed a little bit with the potential risks that they're taking with it.
Yeah, they don't need it to be a blockbuster, and it doesn't have to be. And again, I mean, look, you can put Star Wars out there and do, I mean, just a halfway decent job with it, but as soon as you put Star Wars out there, it's gonna be, you know, millions of dollars, and probably when you get to worldwide, you're gonna get close to a billion no matter what you've got out there. And a guy like, I think with a thing like Solo, especially for the fact that there's so many people that came out of Last Jedi wanting more of the nostalgia, wanting more of the old Luke, wanting more of, you know, this was different, this is not necessarily what I wanted. The idea of being able to tap back into that nostalgia and going back to a character that you feel like you know, and seeing him may be enough to get people out there, and so it could be a bit of a sleeper to them. And it's hard to say that about a Star Wars movie, but given the comparisons. And then, you know, we don't get another movie until next December, so you know, who knows? I mean, what do they do in the gaps? Or is Solo, you know, come out on DVD, it may get another lease on life there too, so it should be interesting to see. Alright, well then we'll change gears to a different trailer that came out a few weeks before that, or at least a week or two. And we're talking about the last part of the Star Wars Rebels Season 4, which will be the last season. Trailer came out, like I said, it may have been about a month ago now. Rebels comes back on Monday. We're recording this on Tuesday the 13th, so it comes back on Monday the 19th. There's episodes, I think two episodes run that night, an episode or two on the 26th, and then the season finale is a 90-minute, which would basically be three episodes, on March 5th. So there's only three more Mondays that this is going to air. And we saw a trailer that recapped a lot of Ezra's journey, it felt like. About half of it was old clips and showing where Ezra had come from and things that Ezra had gone through. And then the last minute or so of the trailer showed a few things that we're going to see coming up in the new episodes. Tina, I guess we've always known, and obviously Ezra's always been the forefront of this of this little group, but it really feels like the end of this story is going to be all about Ezra and maybe figuring out why he's not on the galactic stage in just a couple of years when Luke Skywalker runs around.
That's what it definitely looks like. I mean, it looks like we're heading towards some sort of final confrontation with the dark side, temptation with Ezra. That's what they seem like they've been hinting at for several seasons now, but it looks like we're finally going to find out what happens with that, and that looks like it's going to be the major focus.
Yeah, Steven, we know Hera survives, we know Chopper survives, but everything else is kind of up in the air over these next three weeks. And there's got to be some at least plot reasoning for where Kanan and Ezra are. But everybody else is just kind of up for grabs, and so we don't know necessarily who lives, who dies, and what happens, which makes for a fairly interesting last 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think some of us kind of have an idea. I mean, I think most people have an idea of who will survive and who won't survive. Like we already said, we already know that Hera and Chopper are surviving. And, you know, I would assume that you're going to see, you know, some others survive, and it might lead into, you know, more to build around that. But I also feel like we kind of already know that Kanan is not going to survive, and there's a good possibility that Ezra won't survive either. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's interesting, but at the same time, it's kind of sad because, you know, we've been watching this show for a couple of years now, and, you know, we're nearing the end. So, I mean, you've been following these characters for a while, and it's kind of fortunate that we're going to see them, no longer.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think we've talked about it, but with Solo this summer and with Rebels here, you know, the last half of the calendar is lacking in Star Wars. I mean, there's nothing coming out at the end of the year, which is not something, since Disney's taken over and started putting stuff out, it's not something we've been used to. In fact, even before that, because you had Clone Wars going on TV for years before that. I mean, we're looking at a decade since Clone Wars came started. So we've really not had a gap of no Star Wars since then, and it looks like that's what we're going to have this fall. It's kind of interesting. Now, Tina, that we see kind of quickly, but it seems like this is going to maybe play a part in both some fates of our Jedi. We see a portrait or a icons or fresco or something of the Mortis father, son, daughter that came from Clone Wars. Now, obviously, that was the Mortis trilogy was a pretty big arc that they had of, you know, kind of the embodiment of the Force in this place, the light, the dark, the balance. Is that just kind of a throwaway reference, or do you think that's going to come into play and maybe be a big part of what happens to either Ezra or Kanan?
I don't know if it'll be a big part, but I don't think it's just a throwaway. I don't think they would put something that noticeable in the trailer without it playing some sort of role.
Yeah, and but they haven't. It's kind of funny that, I mean, not funny. I mean, I'm sure there's planning and plotting, but this hasn't come up at all in Rebels. I mean, really, the three episodes of the Clone Wars that this series, the Mortis, was mentioned. It's the only time we've ever seen it. Steven, is it possible, you know, the father was in the Clone Wars, wanted Anakin to stay and, you know, keep the balance or be, you know, be the person that kept it going. Is it possible that we'll see Ezra accept that challenge and instead of dying off, be kind of trapped in this, not trapped, but willingly, staying in this Mortis, whatever it is, dimension?
I could see that. I could also see that being the thing for Kanan, you know, given all of his kind of, you know, force turmoil, in a way, and then his kind of, I guess, you know, reimagination of the Force, after his contact with Bendu. So I could see that being a possibility, either way for Kanan or Ezra.
It is interesting to see them pull that for the last three episodes, or this, not last three, but last, just right this last run, six, seven episodes, what it really works out to be. It's kind of interesting to see them, you know, bring that out of nowhere. Now, Tina, we didn't see her in the trailer, but there's still a lot of talk about Ahsoka's fate being resolved somewhat in these episodes as well. Do you think we'll see a little bit of Ahsoka here with these last little bit?
I hope that we will. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't put it in the trailer, just if they may want whatever happens to be a surprise. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I would be disappointed if the series ended and we didn't get some idea of what actually happened to her.
Steven, where do you come down on Ahsoka?
We're really hoping that they put her in there somehow. I don't see... They've got a lot on their hands, I think, with these last few episodes. I mean, that what they had a lot. They're already done. They already know what they've done. But I think that it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I like Ahsoka a lot, and I would hate to see her closure come in a way that doesn't really do justice to the character. So I'm hoping that if she does, you know, find her demise or whatever, that it does bring some closure and that it doesn't leave things open to interpretation. I think Star Wars is famous for that, just to, you know, throw it out there. Hey, well, this person could be alive.
Yeah.
But, you know.
For sure. I mean, once Darth Maul came back, all bets were off, right?
Well, unless they're planning on having her crop up in one of these other series or something, kind of the same way she turned up in Rebels somewhat unexpectedly. They have to give us something, I think.
And, I mean, it's very possible that they would, you know, but I think they're going to address her, you know, whether it's, you know, just to show she's alive and you still know that she's around so that she can show up in different things or what have you. I don't know, but I think that they're not going to let this go by. I think Ahsoka is too important, and you know, while they're starting to plan another animated series, from what I gather, it doesn't sound like it's, you know, like imminent, like it's going to be this year or anything like that. And depending on where they want to set that, you know, there may not be another chance to address Ahsoka. And so, although at some point in time, she might get her own movie. Who knows? Which would be interesting in and of itself. Steven, we did not see Ahsoka in the trailer, but what we did see, I think, was even more surprising in the fact that we see the Emperor via hologram, or maybe even in live action. I can't remember. But we see the Emperor talking to Ezra and trying to claim Ezra for the dark side. Now, is he actually there? Is it a vision? Who knows? But it's kind of interesting to, you know, that's a character we haven't seen in Rebels, to see him finally, you know, take an interest in this Jedi that might cause him problems.
That's fascinating for sure, because you don't know that the Emperor knows about them. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no way that he doesn't. So, especially, you know, in relating it, to kind of go back, I actually read through the Thrawn book, mm-hmm. the one that is canon now. But I read through it, and you realize how precious of a commodity to the Empire Thrawn was. And not only just to the Empire, but to the Emperor himself. And so there's no way that you know, Thrawn reporting back to the Emperor that he doesn't know what is going on. So I find it interesting with him reaching out to Ezra, or however that's going to be. It doesn't surprise me, as there's, I mean, aside from Darth Vader, they've kind of, you know, fended off everything that the Empire has sent at them, so.
Yeah, and again, you can't bring the big guns unless you're willing to deal with them, and that's usually not a good thing for our heroes when those get involved. Tina, what were your thoughts about Palpatine getting into the mix?
I think it definitely upped the game in that it made, you know, kind of elevated Ezra from kind of this minor character who disappears before we get to the Skywalker saga to somebody who was a major interest of Palpatine at some point, and then whatever ends up happening in this, you know, finale happens. So I was excited to see it. It definitely, I like that idea better than having some kind of minor, you know, confrontation with some villain that we haven't met yet or something. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's and it'll be interesting also to see if Vader makes a return as well. There's so much. I mean, for the fact that there's, what, probably six shows, maybe seven, of 30 minutes each, so much is going to have to be packed into this. It just feels like it's just gonna keep coming at you, and I still don't know. I don't really know how they can put it all into one thing. Do you?
It's interesting with as much earlier in the season where they kind of had some episodes that didn't really advance the plot much. It's kind of interesting how much they're trying to pack into the last few episodes rather than spreading it out a little bit more.
This is true, and it would have been nice to have a little bit more of that. It's also a little surprising how they, you know, again, it's not a half and half. It's a shortened season, but, you know, there's very little here. You would have thought maybe with a better spacing and stuff they could have done so many before and then so many later on, but maybe I'm assuming they know what they're doing, so... and I guess we get it in concentrated dose this way instead of having to stretch it out week by week. So maybe that works. I don't know. Steven, any last thoughts about what we're going to see over this last little bit of Rebels?
You know, I'm just kind of telling my opinion is open on that. I mean, I'm just kind of waiting for things to happen. It's been so long. It feels like it's been like a, we missed like it feels like we're starting a brand new season. It's been so long. So it's been hard to wrap my mind around things because we've had The Last Jedi, we've had, you know, all this time and now we're finally getting to the point to where we've got six more episodes and then it's done. So it's kind of interesting. And I'll be excited for it.
Tina, Stevens mentioned that kind of is a little bit of a tangent, but it's something I've heard a little bit here and there, and as much as we enjoy and love Star Wars and want to see new stuff, there is a downside to this, isn't it? Is that the fact that we've gone from, like you said, we go from focusing on The Last Jedi, and then, you know, we gotta try to get back into this Rebels stage, and then we're gonna have to shift to Solo, and you know, then we'll probably be thinking about episode 9 soon after that. And we're not, it's not a linear story like it has been when we've had just the two or three movies coming out.
That's, you know, to some extent, I think it's going to get kind of hard for people who don't follow it that closely to keep track of whatever all's going on and which thing belongs to which plot line. And, hopefully that won't, you know, dilute things too much and people will stay excited for it. But it's definitely, you know, they've made kind of weird choices on how to space this out because we had, you know, like Last Jedi, you know, Solo and Rebels, and then we're not going to have anything for a while. It seems like if they had planned better, they could have spread it out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it would have made, again, you know, we've talked about it a lot, I think, that moving Solo to Christmas would have made a lot of sense because that's when the time that's worked. Although I will say, just looking at that movie, and I know we're getting back a little bit, but it kind of feels already like a summer movie. It doesn't quite have the, I don't know, maybe, I don't know why it even feels like that. Maybe it's the race cars in the front of it, but it feels a little bit more like it should come out in the summer versus maybe a winter, thing like some of the other ones have. I don't know. We'll see if that counts. Steven, so is it possible we're getting too much Star Wars?
No. There's never too much Star Wars. No. I get the concept and I get the idea, but for us diehards, there's never too much.
But I will, and I agree, I mean, I agree, obviously, because I'm doing a Star Wars podcast when I have no particular reason to do a Star Wars podcast. So, obviously, you know, sitting here in my Star Wars shirt and pajama pants and slippers, you know, it's possible I'm not the target audience to be asking for that kind of question. But I will say that it is impossible for any of this new Star Wars stuff, and really probably even the prequels, though, but definitely this new stuff, to take hold as much as the original trilogy did. Because you had the 3 years between movies, and then you had, you know, what, 20 years between it and the prequels. We've lived with those movies a lot longer, and you were never going to be able to watch The Last Jedi 500 times like we have the original movies, and you don't get a chance to as much because you're already moving on to the new thing. So there are drawbacks to having this much stuff out. I'm not saying that I would want to go back to those days when there's only a book or two here and there that are coming out and keeping the Star Wars flame alive, but there is something to be said for, you know, letting some stuff breathe, which may take us to our next topic and our last one for the night. As we know, Episode 9 comes out in 19. After that, we don't really know the plan for Star Wars. There's been rumors about a Kenobi movie. We have not heard any more about that, you know, or at least I haven't, since that original report came out 2 or 3 months ago, which we talked about on one of these shows. We know that Rian Johnson has a trilogy that's going to be coming at some point in time. It's a trilogy, which means it is all connected, and it's going to be the through line, and he's going to plot it out and at least do the first one, and he may hand over the reins for the last two. But we also found out a week or so ago that the guys in charge of Game of Thrones, and I just have forgot to look it up, but it's D.B. Weiss, and I've forgotten his last name. The other guy's name, Bendoff, I think, maybe? I'm not sure. I may be making up names. always possible. But anyway, they are going to be in charge writing, I think maybe it's writing and putting together a series of Star Wars films. And I think the terminology, Steve, in here is kind of interesting, because when they did Rian Johnson, they said he's doing a trilogy that will not be tied to the Star Wars saga, and it will be, you know, a new corner of the universe. With this announcement, it was a series of films, which means we don't know how many, and it kind of sounded like they were going to hit some things. So it kind of sounds to me, and maybe it's just me, that they're going to be in charge of basically these Star Wars stories / anthology type films coming forward for at least for a little while.
That's an interesting thought. I haven't thought of it that way. Really, I mean, that kind of throws you for a loop. I haven't heard that thought process. So, my thought process has actually been, that we will probably are going to see them do probably more of a, I want to say like a 2 to 3 film set, I guess you can't do three if it's a series and not a trilogy, so, 2 to 4, let's say. I really see them doing, and I know it's a tired wheel to kick, but I really feel like there's going to be something Old Republic-wise.
That does seem to be, given that they're coming from Game of Thrones, seems to be the way most people are leaning. But, I mean, Tina, are we just kind of pigeonholing these guys and saying they did, you know, epic fantasy here, Knights of the Old Republic, that kind of thing is the closest that Star Wars has to it, so this must be what they're doing?
I don't think it necessarily means that that's what they have to be doing. I mean, it would make sense that if that's where they are going, that they would tap these guys that have already done a series in that realm, but they're being pretty vague with it. The feeling that I get is that probably exactly what they're going to do isn't all hashed out yet, that they just wanted to go ahead and make the announcement because we do have this gap where nothing's really going on for a little while.
I have only watched like the first season of Game of Thrones. I've read the books as much as the books go. Tina, maybe you have seen more of this than I have. Obviously, you know, the first few seasons of that, they're adapting George R. R. Martin's work, but the last couple of years were kind of on their own. If you have seen this, and if not, you can ignore my question. I'll pass it on to Steven. I mean, what does this inspire you? Is this a good move? What do you think?
I am concerned about their choice of picking these guys and giving them Star Wars. And I have read all the books and I have seen every episode of the series. I was a huge fan of the books and the series started off pretty good. And it's got, to me, the storytelling has gotten considerably worse once they've gotten past the point where they no longer had George R.R. Martin's story to adapt anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm concerned about their ability to write a good story, and I'm also concerned about them bringing a whole host of problematic things that are probably outside of the scope of this podcast to the Star Wars universe. I don't know how much you know about these guys, but they're pretty controversial, both in the choices they've made with some of the characters on Game of Thrones show and also their involvement in this ill-conceived what if Whitey won the Civil War series that they're doing for HBO. So I mean, they have done things with Game of Thrones that I have liked, but they have done a lot of things that I would really hate to see cross over to Star Wars. So I'm hoping that because it's Disney that will temper some of their, you know, more problematic issues. Of course, Disney has their own history, but anyway, I guess I'll just leave it at as I'm not excited about it. I'm hoping that they'll prove me wrong, but I'm worried.
Steven, I mean, if you've got any thoughts on here, I gotta think we're never gonna see an R-rated Star Wars movie. I think that brand and that is too vital. And I think we've seen Kathleen Kennedy be pretty clear on what Star Wars is so far. But I mean, what are your thoughts here on these guys or just the idea in general?
I guess I really don't have much of an opinion on them. I have never seen an episode of Game of Thrones. I've thought about watching it, but I've never really watched it. I knew it was a book series, but I mean, before the TV, I had no clue that they existed. So the idea of it, I like. Because I'm hoping we get something different. I've never really played Knights of the Old Republic, and I have never played the MMO game, Old Republic. It's not that I really have this vast, interest in that era because of that, but it's just kind of fascinating to me, an era where there were more Jedi, and you have some kind of controversial character in Revan, just kind of fascinates me, and I think that would do well in that kind of format, and that's just kind of what I'm hoping to see here.
I've always wondered if a historical thing like that, and it kind of goes with anything that gets too far away from this main line of the original trilogies and things of that nature, which we're, you know, again, probably going to find out at some point in time, but how much of that kind of stuff you can sell to a casual audience. I mean, like I said, obviously Star Wars fans are going to this, but, and you know, we'll see. I think we'll see when they start trying to develop stuff that might have happened between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens, if they start doing movies in that era, or if they, like Rian Johnson, is doing something that's completely in a different part of the universe, and you know, the connection is to, you know, Star Wars Galaxy and not the stuff we've seen before. You're right. I mean, people might get excited about the fact of a whole bunch of Jedi versus a whole bunch of Sith. But I don't know, and I don't know what, I mean, Disney does a lot more of this market research and figuring things out than I do, and those have a better idea, but I don't know. I'm kind of, I just don't know how that grabs the casual person that goes to Star Wars but doesn't, you know, sit and listen to us and things of that nature. So, I don't know. I think that, but you're right. I mean, that does seem to be in their wheelhouse. Although I think they've done a little bit of other things on TV and maybe. We'll have to see. It was a little bit of a strange, I mean, it made sense to give Rian Johnson a trilogy, given what they thought about Return for Last Jedi, and how much, you know, how well he worked with Disney and all that stuff. That all kind of made some sense. I don't know. It was a little surprising that they went this way and to announce these movies. And again, it kind of gets back to where we were at. You know, right now we know there's at least 5 more movies, because like I said, we don't know how many these other guys are going to do, and it may depend on what they're going to do, but there's at least 5 movies coming sometime after 2019, maybe 6 if you count the Kenobi movie. Do you think, Tina, that they'll ever, you know, it feels like a couple of these are so far away that they might have to take, like, 2020, 2021, take a year or two off in between, and then hit it again?
What was the question?
I'm sure it didn't make any sense. I just kind of wondered. Basically, do you think that the way this is set up, or the way that might happen, do you think they'll take a couple of years off between movies and then come back and, you know, give us a movie every year for 3 or 4 years?
I think they're almost going to have to, because, I mean, the Rian Johnson stuff, it's got to be in the very early stages. And from what I heard, these guys aren't even going to start on anything until they wrap Game of Thrones, which is next year, I think. So that stuff doesn't seem like it's going to be in the works. So I guess it really depends on, you know, how far along, where they're at with this, Obi-Wan movie, which it doesn't seem like that's very far along if it's, or, you know, even started yet. So I think they're gonna have to be some kind of break, unless they've got something that they've been working on that they haven't told us about yet.
And it's always possible. You know, and again, the end of 19 is when Disney streaming service is supposed to start, and they're talking about at least one and maybe more live action shows on there. So maybe, you know, they'll fill some of the gaps between movies with TV shows. But again, that's the kind of thing you think would be writing and staffing and stuff like that. And I guess they are probably writing the stuff now, but they obviously aren't going before cameras yet. So, you know, maybe they can, I guess there's still probably time for that to happen, but, that might fill the gap and keep Star Wars alive for those couple of years. But, yeah, it just kind of feels like, and I don't think it's a bad thing. Like I said, we always want more Star Wars, but a couple of years of a breather wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, I don't think. Steven, any last thoughts before we call it a night?
Not really. I mean, I'm excited for all that we're getting. You know, mm-hmm. We've got a lot coming. We've got the Solo movie coming. You got the end of Rebels coming before that. It will have a new TV series coming, in the process. It's already, according to Bob Iger, in the process of being set up. So, my only concern, my only complaint right now is that we're not getting a whole lot of explanation. It's, Rian Johnson's gonna go do a trilogy and nobody knows what it's going to be about. These guys are going to come on board and they're going to do a series of movies and nobody knows what it's going to be about. Oh, by the way, we're also going to do a TV series, but we don't know what it is. So it's kind of odd to me. And I guess that they're just trying to hold their cards a little close to the vest, but, I just would like to know a little bit.
It would be nice, and I wonder, you gotta think that this year at Comic-Con in San Diego is gonna be a big time for them, because Solo will be done, and all this stuff, like we said, it's gonna be in that gap, and you gotta figure that's when they're gonna, you know, maybe they'll release the Episode 9 title, or they'll talk about some shows, or something. Some stuff's gonna have to come out of that, you would think, but that's quite a ways away, for us to have to wait, unfortunately. So, Tina, any last thoughts?
The feeling that I have is a lot of this kind of delay on releasing information, particularly with TV shows, may have to do with them wanting to see how their streaming platform goes, because I have a feeling if it goes well, they're probably going to want to try to funnel whatever these TV shows are onto their own platform, and if it doesn't, then they're probably going to have to be changing course somewhat, so that's probably part of the reason for it, and the other may just be that since they know that they're not going to have as many projects coming out, that maybe they want to hold the information to keep people interested and just release it a little bit at a time.
And it, yeah, and it's also, like you said, so early. I mean, we saw what happened. I mean, we've seen what happened with you know, Rogue One and the reshoots. We've seen with Lord Miller having to be replaced on Solo. You know, they announced the Josh Trank movie before, and then that just completely went by the wayside. And maybe they just really want to make sure they've got a lot of stuff in the can and a lot of stuff really locked down before they start giving out details. And, you know, we've had Last Jedi to talk about. We've had Solo to talk about. There's no need to overshadow those things too much. So I think, yeah, hopefully at the end of the year, this last half of the year, we'll see a lot more of this information coming out. I also want to point out that it looks like Star Wars The Last Jedi will be coming out digitally on March 14th and on Blu-ray and everything else on March 27th. So you can buy your copies then. We know Tito won't be, but, you know.
We'll buy him a few copies.
That's right. We'll buy
him. That'll be his early Christmas present.
That's right. We'll do that and then make him watch him four or five more times. So should be kind of interesting to see that. And then I would expect we would see Solo on those kind of things in April or May. August or September, I would think, after that. Because it seems like nowadays it's almost like you can walk out of the theater and pick up the movie. It's almost that quick, it feels like, sometimes. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you joining me tonight. And it's always fun to talk some Star Wars, and we'll see what we can do. We'll have some maybe we'll get back together next month after the end of Rebels and kind of break down what happened there. So for Steven and Tina, I'm Daniel, and we'll talk at you later.
Thought we were in trouble there for a second, but it's fine. We're fine.